The title of today's message is Blessing is Intentional. I'm going to start at the beginning. In the beginning, said God created the heavens and the earth. Wasn't mere happenstance. Wasn't an accident. Wasn't some spontaneous reaction from some cosmic spark that, you know, finally escalated from nowhere to create everything. That never happened. That's not what happened. God spoke, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he said, let there be, and whatever he said is what came to pass. God was intentional with every word he spoke. And everything that was created for a purpose and for a reason, because it had an intent. Say, God is intentional. When God created man, it was intentional. He said he would create him in his own image. Watch this. From the earth that he had already intentionally created. Somebody say, everything with God is intentional. Now watch this. If God makes a promise, it's intentional. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, yes. And in him, amen. So be it. Unto the glory of God by us. So his promises are what secure our future. And he is intentional about what takes place in your life. Look back at what you've been through. Look back at what's transpired in your life. Everything that has happened to you up to now has been intentional. Now, it wasn't always God's best for you, some of the choices you made. But the things concerning God were intentional. And how many people have children in here? How many of you had plans for them? You had them all set up, hooked up. But right when they should have went straight, they made a left. Or they made a hard right turn. Did you give up on them? Did you quit them? Or did you, like when the GPS, it reroutes. And now you got to move, instead of from here, you got to go over here, and you got to reroute, and you got to get a new plan. Even though you have the same plan, you got to find another way to get there. So God, through your life, has been running around like a GPS, rerouting your life, because his intent is to help you. His intent is to love you, to make you better than you are right now, and to give you a better life. How many people want to serve a God like that? John 3:16 gives us probably the most simplistic view of God's intent for our life. He came to save us. What does that mean? He means he wants to deliver us, and in delivering, he wants to restore us. And in restoring, he also wants to preserve us, so when we get restored, we can stay restored. How many people have been restored and then you got unrestored? Was that God's fault? Tell the truth, somebody. Was that God's intent? No. But how many people know that we serve a God of 2, 3, 400, 5,000 chances? And if he didn't, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you right now. In other words, nothing God does is by accident. Nothing is mere happenstance. So you may ask, you know, why are you stating the obvious? Why are you saying the obvious? Because the answer is very simple. I've noticed that a lot of times people think just because they know something, that automatically that thing they know is working for them. Oh, you try to tell them the scripture. Oh, yeah, I know that. And what they mean is, yeah, I know about it, so it's already working in my life. Is it? Because you have understanding about a topic, and because you acknowledge, and with an amen, that you're familiar with the passage or the scripture or the teaching, automatically now you possess the right to have it working in your life? Huh, isn't that interesting? I've never seen a shovel jump out and dig a hole. I went down and bought the shovel. I paid cash for the shovel. Carried it in and set it in the tool shed. But if I don't put my hands on the shovel and go dig, there's not going to be a hole. Shovels don't dig their own holes. Amen. Be up preaching about something, trying to tell somebody a revelation you got, and they're like, yeah, I know. Well, you know, I don't see it working. I don't see any hole. I don't see anything working in your life. I think I'm supposed to share this revelation with you. Why? Because it's not working. God is intentional. And if he's being intentional about something, it will be showing up in your life. So we think just because we know about it, it's automatically working for them. Nothing could be further from the truth. James 5, let me just run through some scriptures with just to kind of put things in perspective. Does it not say that the prayer of faith will raise the sick, it'll heal the sick? Does it not say that? Okay. So James 5 is there. It's a shovel. But do you think that you can have healing if you don't have faith? Oh, I know it says if you have the prayer of faith, but what if you have no faith? Who's going to heal the sick? No prayer, no faith, no healing. Got it? If you're not praying and there's not faith in the prayer, then there's no healing. Simple, right? Why? Healing is a promise from God. Well, see, I know about the promise of God, but I haven't prayed. And when I prayed, I didn't pray with faith. What do you mean pray with faith? A lot of times people will pray for a headache. They can't even get past a headache. And when they're praying, they're like, Lord, please just take this pain from my head. But in the back of their mind, they know they have a Tylenol in the cabinet. And I've heard some pray, they literally will say, well, I'm going to pray this prayer of faith. And as soon as they feel pain comes back, they walk over to the cabinet. Was that a prayer of faith? Faith doesn't have a backup plan. Did you hear me? Faith doesn't have a backup plan. If it has a backup plan, it's not faith. Because if you believed it was going to happen, why would you need a backup plan? Amen, Pastor. Wow, you just keep preaching like that. Mark 16:18 says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But if no one's laying on hands, then how could anyone be expected to recover? We have this tendency to think just because we're saved that these blessings just automatically, continually bombard our life. Remember, God is intentional about everything he does. This is for somebody today. This is going to help somebody. So the blessing of God is intentional. Say, the blessing of God is intentional. See, that means that I have to do something. Yeah. See, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to get your head around this. Are you ready? I've said it before, but it's a revelation, and you have to have it. You have to possess this. We want God to bless what we're doing. But instead, we need to do what God is blessing. I'm going to say it again. Don't ask for God to bless what you're doing. You do what God is blessing. We already know what God is blessing. He makes it clear in what he blesses. And the reason why many times we're walking around in failure is because we got our own ideals about things. We don't know God's intent for our life. He knows. So we start trying to be intentional about things that he should be dealing with. And so we start saying, oh, God, please bless it. But he can't bless that because if he does, it's going to kill you. Or it's going to bring more harm in your life than good. So you're asking him to do something that would be contrary to his intent. God's not going to work in opposition to himself. So stop asking God to bless what you're doing. And ask the question, God, before you do it, before you start it, before you spend the money, am I doing what you're blessing? Then make the decision to do it, and you don't even have to ask him. Did you hear me? If you've already asked the question, in other words, I'm looking for gold. I'm not going to go pick a spot and find some dirt and say, hey, God, hey, guys, help me find gold here. Hope gold's here. I believe gold's going to be here. Wouldn't it make more sense to say, where's the gold? And that's where I want to dig. Now, is the gold here? Yes. Okay. Then the whole time I'm digging, I don't have to ask anybody, can you make sure the gold's here? Can you help me with the gold? The gold's already there. I'm already doing the thing that is blessed. I'm already in the place, in the spot, doing the thing, just waiting on the blessing now to show up, right? Is it going to be this shovel, next shovel? Dink, I've hit the gold. You understand? I'm trying to make this as easy as I can for you. So I think a lot of the problem is we really don't understand what the blessing is. And this is where we get confused. Now, here, I'm going to try to make some sense out of this for you. I'm going to make a statement. Blessing is anything that adds quality to your soul. Did you hear me? Anything that adds quality to your soul. See, God wants us to be whole and complete. And I'll give you the scripture. Ephesians 4 and 12 says he wants to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, say built up, until we all reach unity, say unity, of the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, say the knowledge of him. And it says, and become mature. Somebody say, grow up. Attaining, listen to the words they use here, to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Did you see that? The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's maximum capacity. So what God's interested in is trying to get you maxed out on the fullness of him. And that's really all he's interested in. Because if you have that, you already have everything. And that's what the blessing is for, to get you to this measure. The measure means he's testing it. He's measuring it. And there is a fullness that when you reach capacity, the little needle hits full. So everything that brings blessing into your life will bring you to that full stature of maturity. Does everyone understand what the blessing is? And do you understand what the blessing is for now? Crystal clear? Now let me show you where it starts getting cloudy. Some people get, let's say somebody comes up and gives you a brand new boat. Man, I've heard people say, man, I am blessed. And you may be. Because if somebody came up and gave me a boat, that's a good thing, right? But if I find myself every Sunday morning out on that boat instead of in church, then I have to ask the question, do I still hold true to that belief? Am I really blessed? Now, if it's edifying my life and it's adding benefit to my life, I can tell you right now, I have a boat. Love it. But you don't catch me out on it on Sunday mornings. I don't go on my boat on Sunday mornings. You know where I'm at? Here preaching to you. But there are times when I work so hard, when I am reached so many people that I'm physically and mentally exhausted, and that boat comes in pretty handy. I know Jesus used a lot of boats. So in that case, my boat is a blessing to me. Because it provides benefit for my soul. Do you see how tight the line is? How people get confused and people aren't, they're not looking at the maturity of the fullness of Christ in their life across the board. They're looking at the temporal thing, the resource, the tangible. Can you see how it happens? Can you see how it happens? So let me put it this way. If you find, I'm going to go ahead and do this. Everybody should do this anyway. Pastor David used to challenge us on this all the time, but really I want to use this as an example here. You can even do it in your mind right now. Just take a look in your checkbook. You don't have to physically look at it. You know what checks you've been writing. You may want to look at your bank statement. That might be even more sobering to you. Very simple. Look at how much in that bank statement this month, last month, the month before, that you sowed into kingdom. I didn't say church, I said into kingdom. And then look at what you sowed to everything else. And I will show you who's living in faith. You show me someone who's having financial problems consistently, continually, I'll show you that that will be a gross imbalance. Why? Because God is intentional. And if he tells you, if you sow abundantly, that's a promise, he has an intent. What's the intent? He has to give you a way to have control of your own prosperity. If we just had to sow and hope, then it would be like, well, we don't really know what we're... But he made it so simple. He said, for the same measure you meet with all, it'll be measured back, so you get it back. You get your initial investment back. But you also, it runs over. And it comes from folk, because it says men will give you into your bosom. So you create a prosperity where people start adding to your life instead of subtracting. But God's intentional about that, because he wants you to be intentional about it. So if you're not being blessed financially the way that you feel you should be getting blessed, I'm giving you a few things that you can be intentional about that God gave you say of in your own. Hey, you're the only one that determines how much you give. He said, purpose in your own heart how you're going to give. Even says, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I don't want you to do it grudgingly. You have to do it. Who do you give the control to? That was intentional. Say it's intentional. So, if you're in trouble, give your way out. You give your way out, he will bless you out of the place you're at. So, looking at your checkbook, looking at your bank statement, my question to you is, are you blessed? You have to think it through. The Bible says we're seeds of Abraham, right? And he was blessed to be a blessing. If we're of the same seed, if I take a grapefruit tree and I take a seed out of that fruit off that tree and I plant it, what's it going to grow? A grapefruit tree. And it's going to produce more seed. And what's it going to produce? So we are to produce after our seed. So if Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, then we are blessed. It's not rocket science. We're the same seed. So let me ask you a question. Who have you blessed this week? Did you bless anybody today? Did you bless anybody last month? How did you bless them? Would it be the blessing, the kind of blessing that would excite you? It's awful quiet in here today. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to be blessed? Who wants to be blessed? How many people wants to live with just constant, continual blessings? God is intentional. And if you want to see blessing in your life, there's some things you're going to have to be intentional about in order to see it breaking forth in your life. Can you say amen? So I'm just pointing a few things out. Look around you. Who have you blessed? Who are you blessing? Or now that it's bringing to your attention how it works, maybe this week might look different than last week. Are you being intentional with the things of God? Are you doing things intentionally in order to be blessed? That's the real question here today. How many people believe that prayer changes things? I mean, it really has the ability to. I mean, do you really believe that, or are you just saying it? Tell the truth. Let me ask the question this way. How many people need something to change in your life? Let me see your hands. Okay, so most everybody in here. So speaking to that same group then, if you believe that prayer changes things, has the ability to change, and you need something changed, how many of you prayed for at least 5 minutes today about the thing that needs changed? You got a handful. See, all the hands slim down. How about yesterday? How about through the week? How about last month? Got it? You have to be intentional. Prayer's not going to make itself. Now, he will intercede for us when we don't know what to pray for. But you just said you needed something to change. So he's not interceding for that. That's your responsibility. He gave you that right or the right not to. Just like he gave you the right to give or the right not to. And he'll intercede when you know not what you need to be praying for. But y'all know what you need to be praying for, don't you? So who's that on, him or you? So see, again, we got these cover scriptures thinking, oh, he's got it covered. If I don't do it, he's going to do it. That's not what the scripture says. Don't read it that way. Or you're going to be waiting for blessings that are never going to show up. Because God is intentional, so you have to be intentional. I have to be intentional. We have to be intentional about the things that we're doing consistently. Let me put it this way, because you can get it this way. How many people have ever had to lose weight? If you want to lose weight, you can't just lose weight. You can't just say, weight be gone. Confess it and possess it. I am thin. I am skinny. No, you're still in an XXL. No. No, you're not. You have to be intentional. You have to do something to make a change. Are you listening to me? If you want to earn a degree in higher education, you have to do something intentional. You don't just show up with a doctorate. Do doctors just show up? Or do you have to be intentional about them? She just got it. She's got her doctorate. You have to work. You have to do. You have to be intentional. You have to be methodical. You have to do the things that are required in order to get or earn that thing. This is not earning God's love. This is not earning salvation. It's not what I'm talking about. It's doing what is blessed and not blessing what you're doing. Doing what is already blessed. Or for some reason, when we put it in church, we want to get all weird with it. We want to change all the rules and then expect him just to bless us because he's a good God. And I don't even want to hear myself say this, but sometimes he just blesses us anyway. But he does not tell us to depend on that. Look at your neighbor and say, blessings come from the inside out and not the outside in. Blessings come from the inside out. Say inside out, not the outside in. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to hear me. People that need things from the outside to motivate them are operating at the lowest level of motivation. Oh, I saw a new tape. I'm going to go try it. I saw a new pill. I'm going to go get it. I saw a new gadget. I'm going to try it. Motivation from the outside in You know, we were on weight loss, so let me tell you something I've worked with for many years. I could tell you right now, every time somebody tries to get it from the outside in, they fall right back into the place they were because they didn't fix the inside first. I remember one time I was in Toledo, Ohio, and I was at an altar call. Several thousand people in the church, people everywhere at the altar call, and I gave it. And I saw this heavyset individual, and the Lord just said, go over and speak to him. And I laid my hand on his butt, and I started prophesying to him. And the pastor's wife was standing there, and I didn't know. And I started telling him, and the Lord was just reading his mail. Basically, he had been abused at a young age, and he was holding on to that bitterness. He couldn't let go, and he was trying to, and blah, 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 blah. And I just read him, and the pastor's wife was going, and he was just squalling, it's not coming, it's not coming. When I was done preaching, he stood there and shook for 30 minutes, just shook under the power of God. Pastor's wife came up to me and said, how in God's name did you know all that? You just told his whole life story. I said, no, God told his life story because he needed change. And he was intentional to come down to get it. And because he got it, he was able to be set free. That guy lost over 100 pounds and never went on one weight loss plan. That happened. They called me and told me he lost over 100 pounds and he never went on one weight loss plan because it was eating him up on the inside. See, you got to fix what's this. Your motivation first needs to be fixed on the outside. Then once it's fixed on the outside, you'll know what to do on the outside. Once it's fixed on the inside. Fix it on the inside and it will find what it needs on the outside. Can somebody please say amen right now? And so, I made the statement that people that, you know, need to find things on the outside, that's the lowest level of motivation. Well, let me put it this way. Motivation that comes from the outside is always limited by things and conditions. There's always some kind of limiting factor, and it'll be you don't have this, you don't have that, or the conditions are wrong, it's just not right, it's not right timing, can't do it right now. Are you listening? So I call that resource-driven. But internal motivation has no limitation because it's source-driven. It doesn't depend on you. It ties you to the source that is assisting you. So it's more focused, listen to me, on the ability of its source than the instability of the environment around you. Who am I talking to today? So the first thing you need to do, I guess, is you need to find your source. Because you're only limited by the source that's supplying you. Why do I say this? Look at what you're trying to do in your life. What are you depending on? What are you using as your crutch? What are you using as your vehicle right now? You're limited by the source that's supplying you. So you better make sure that you're hooked up to the source that has no limitations, because that source may guide you on several different outside sources. But too many times we get tied to an outside source and we call it addiction. Unhealthy affiliation. Soul tie. Familiar terms? Do you see how it happens? Your dependency is on something else beside the Lord. And it's working. It's a pacifier for right now. You know, you can live on sugar water. You can live a long time on sugar water. But eventually you'll die. Because your source was not complete. Anytime you're trying to solve a need, and you look to the outside before you look on the inside, you're resource driven. When you're motivated from the inside, listen to me, the affairs on the outside will no longer affect you. Did you hear me? So So the problem is when you're resource driven, see, you're constantly shifting your dependencies. I'm dependent on this. Okay, now this isn't working anymore. Now I gotta find something. So I shift over here. That's not working anymore. So, and you keep shifting. I see it all the time in relationships. It didn't work in this one, so you drag your mess over into the next one. Same, just different day, different person, and then you wear them out, and now you're on to the next one. Whereas if you would have been source-driven, you would have got with your source, you would have seen the error in your way, you would have made proper correction, you would have allowed to be restored, saved, healed, right, and delivered, and then you would be whole and complete and mature, and you would take that maturity with the fullness of Christ and the understanding of the Word, and you would have taken that into the next relationship, and that would have sown seed into that new field, and you would have had a healthy relationship. But nobody likes the process. Nobody likes that potter's wheel. They say, oh, put me on the wheel, God. You sure? You ever seen a potter's wheel? It will change you. It will mold you, squeeze you, press you, mash you. You won't even look the same. You can't act the same. You are not the same. You are one vessel, and he makes you into the thing that you need to be. Are you sure you want to get on that potter's wheel? If you ever really understood how God felt about you, if you really understood, you would never question him again. Now, quickly, I'm going to try to bring this thing to a close here. Let's look at the life of the disciples quickly. Now, they walked with Jesus. But listen, I'm telling you, at first, the disciples were resource-driven. You say, how can you say that? Okay. What happened when Jesus got on a boat with them? He's been working the miracles all around them. They know he's the Son of God. They get on a boat, and he said, we're going to the other side. Seems pretty clear and concise. What happened when the external environment changed? See, when the external environment changes and you're dependent on things externally, you're about to have chaos ensue. You're about to get your eyes beat out from the storm. But when your source is fixed on the inside, the external doesn't change the inside, and whatever's going on out here doesn't affect what's in here. So the disciples wake Jesus up when the Son of God is there, the word that they were given, sleeping. You didn't catch that. The word said, I'm going to the other side. Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. We're the same beginning with God, right? And that Word was made flesh, was sleeping. The Word that gave the Word was there sleeping, resting in the peace and tranquility of the Lord. And they're losing their mind. Now, were they resource or source-driven? Resource. Because their environment changed and they lost their ever-loving minds. I can watch people as they go through a crisis, and I'll tell you where they're driven. What did the doctor's report say? What did it say? Are you dependent upon that report? Because if I was dependent on my report, my son wouldn't be here today. I mean, I appreciate the evaluation. I like to know where we are so I know how to change things with prayer. So I like an update. But that's not a forecast. Appreciate the update. But you're not going to prognosticate about what's going, not going to happen because we're going to change it in prayer. Are you listening? Who am I talking to here? It's a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. I don't have faith in that report that you're saying is going to happen. He'll never make it past here. I don't have faith in that. But I do see where he is now. I'm not living in denial. It just can't stay this way. Yeah. And probably most profoundly, I think you'll see it the most here. What happened when they came and captured Jesus? Did Jesus give ulterior instructions? Did he give some alternate plan that I wasn't aware of? I didn't read it in here. Did anybody find it? No. They went and hid and even denied him. Source or resource driven? Resource driven. They were walking with him. So when their environment changed, they changed with it. Resource or reactionary. Now notice, because I'm not going to leave them hanging out. You know, I'm not going to throw them under the bus and leave them with speed bumps on their head. Notice that after they go to the upper room and they were filled with the Spirit, they found their source. Amen? Resource changed and converted to source, and they were baptized in the Spirit. That's when they became source-driven, and you could look from that point forward, and no matter how the environment changed, no matter what happened, they never backed up and they never faltered in their faith again. All it takes is just one moment to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where you are convinced in every area of your life where nothing that you're depending on will you depend on or trust in outside of the Lord, and then allow the Lord to use those things. I didn't say, oh, you can't use modern medicine with my son. No, I went to the Lord first and asked him how to pray and how to believe and what to say and what to speak, while he used the resources that God made available. Do you see the difference? We have to use the resources in this world to live, or you won't last for more than a few minutes because you can't even drink water because it's a resource on the world, right? God made everything. It all belongs to him. The fullness of the earth is his and the fullness thereof. So everything belongs to God, but I'm going to go through God as my source so I know what to do, when I need to do it, and how I need to do it. But I have to be intentional about the way I do it. So if we're not seeing results, we have to say, where are we lacking in intent? Is that a fair assessment? That's not picking on anybody. That's just throwing a lifeline out there for you. So whatever it is in your life, everybody raised their hand a while ago and said, yeah, I want to see something change. I saw your hand go up. Then what are you not being intentional about to create the change that is needed that you would call blessing? I know you like it when I preach those upbeats and, yeah, go get them, Bishop. It's this kind of preaching that changes your life. When you finally make the decision to take up your cross and follow the Lord, there's going to be three major decisions you're going to have to make. Number one is going to come from Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. What's the intention there? Belief. You have to believe. You have to believe, and you can't be ashamed of it. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to step away for a moment, because I'm going to expound on that, because everybody's nodding. That means if you're ever in somewhere and someone says, makes a comment about being conservative or conservative values or biblical values. And it's coming against what the Bible teaches. If you sit there and you ignore it, then by acknowledgement you have defaulted, and then you're saying that you believe what they're saying. We don't speak up enough about our belief. Why? Because we're ashamed of the gospel. If you weren't ashamed of it, you'd tell it. I guarantee you right now, if someone was talking about your wife or talking about your husband or talking about your kids, you'd open up your mouth. Why? You love your kids more than you love God? Somebody talking about your race, you'll speak up. My head going. You love your race more than you love God? Start talking about your sex. Girls, I'll pick on you. Start talking about girls, and they can't do this, can't do that. Nails come up, brills on the back of your neck, bowed up. You love your gender more than you love God? I'm just going to ask some questions. I tell you right now, it's time when people start speaking out against God, we brill up a little bit. We stand up and say, I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to tolerate that. You just remember, I've looked at you 100 times and done this. You deserve what you tolerate. You don't have to tolerate that nonsense. Yeah, we're Christians, but we also got a mouth, and we can open it and use it. Okay, I'm going to come back. That's being ashamed of the gospel. Got to move on. Second thing, Romans 4:20. Talking about the seed of Abraham, right? That's us. He did not waver through unbelief. He did not waver through unbelief. He did not waver. I mean, you start acting a fool instead of doing what the Word of God already says and tells you to do. You're acting crazy, getting all eccentric, getting all hysterical. It has nothing to do with what the Word of God promises. Whose report you're going to believe? Did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God, being, listen to me, fully persuaded. Somebody say, I'm fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. Does God have the power to do what he promised you, or doesn't he? He either does or he doesn't. Either believe it or don't. There's no middle ground. So how many people raise their hand and say, I need a change? Does he have the power to do it, or doesn't he? Are you fully persuaded? Then you will be intentional about the thing you need to do in order to see that change come to play. If you believe that, can you just shout amen? Amen. And finally, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You should be telling everyone, everywhere, about God. I know a lot of you will go to a good restaurant. You'll wear 40 people out, tell them how good that restaurant is. But if you told them how good God is? Found a sale at this store or that store. Man, you'll send 50 people there. How many people have you invited to church? I'm just asking some questions. Go and preach it everywhere. Let your conversation be filled with salt and light. That means you're talking about the things of God. Share Jesus. He's the best commodity you'll ever trade. You do all these things knowing that all the power you'll ever need has already been given. Say, he's my source. Source-driven. Say, he is intentional about me succeeding in life. That's the motivation that will sustain you from the inside out. If you want to be blessed, simple choice. You have to choose to do something about it. So I'm telling you, please be intentional about the blessing of God. Can you please stand to your feet?
I've been meditating on that word actually for a while now, and I didn't even know that that was going to make it to a sermon. It was some things he was dealing with me about. I was in prayer, and you heard my nephew, Dr. Mitch. You know, as I start my days out with prayer, I walk around the house, I pray, and I start every day out in prayer. And I was just praying about this and praying about that, and the Lord just said, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Lord, I need you to help me." He said, "What are you going to do about it?" The first time he said it, I just didn't understand. Because I was thinking, because I'd prayed some, and I'd done, he said, "Have you?" And he reminded me, he said, "Remember when your son was struggling?" He said, "How long did you pray for him?" I said, "Well, that's all I did was pray." "How's your son?" "Doing fine, Lord, doing fine." He reminded me, "If you watch what you're saying." I'd been doing a little complaining. Anybody in here ever complain? I know you don't do it, but I do. I did. And I was complaining about the state of my affairs. And I caught myself. The Lord called me out on it. "So what's that coming out of your mouth?" Because when you're complaining about something, what you're saying is God's not doing a good enough job for you. When really, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I realized real quick, God, you're not the problem here. So I had to tighten some things up. Had to go back and fix it. Had to go back and go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know, what was I thinking? I was out of faith and didn't know it." If you're talking bad about the thing you're expecting to be good, you call that being in faith? It's double-minded. And he's unstable in every way. If you're complaining, you're double-minded. Stop it. Fix your mouth. And you can't fix your mouth until you fix your heart, because that's where it speaks from. So I had to stand before the Lord. I'm just telling you, I'm your pastor. I had to fix it. I'm still fixing some stuff, a lot of stuff. I don't know, maybe you live in a different world. Maybe I got stuff to fix. And so I'm having to look at things and put things in perspective. And I'm like, "Lord, I'm having to repent a little bit." And I'm saying, "Lord, I'm going to back up and let me start this over and let me do what I know you've already told me to do instead of complaining about the things that aren't happening that I'm not doing." Is anybody hearing me today? I'm just throwing myself under the bus here. So maybe you can see some of your own errors through mine. But I'm fixing it. I can't stay this way. I can't stay in this place. I refuse to go backwards. So I know that God has plans for me to prosper me. And so therefore, I'm not going to move in my mind or in my heart away from that plan. If he is intentional about my life, if he is intentional about your life, then we cannot back up. And we need to be intentional on the things we're doing to cooperate with the Lord. How many people want to cooperate for your own success? Did that help anybody today? Did that give you something to think about this week, something to work for this week, something to challenge you this week, maybe put the foot in your back, kind of give you a little push to get you moving back towards prosperity, moving back toward blessing, back toward praise, and back toward worship, back to getting peace in your life, getting that rejuvenation. Man, you want to get motivated? You start getting into the Word. You start praising God. You'll come off that pillow, man. You'll come up there like Ricky Tikki Tavi. You'll come off that bed, man. Come on. We need to get back to our original motivation. Amen. You don't need people. You don't need things. You don't need pills. You don't even, praise the God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You don't even need coffee. I like my coffee. but I don't need it. You hear what I'm saying? But God loves me enough that after he motivates me, gets me up, praise God, he lets me have some coffee. And when I'm drinking that coffee, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Everybody lift up your hands for me, please. Father, I pray over every person in this house. Lord, you have spoken to our heart today. You've dealt with our minds. And God, now we got to deal with it. So please, I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, bring those things to the forefront that we need to do, we need to change, we need to work on, Lord, that we can do. We're trusting you for everything. And we know we can't do it without you. But Lord, we do have a part to play, and we want to cooperate with your Spirit today. So anybody here today that would say, just go ahead and loose your mouth right now and start speaking up to heaven and say, Lord, you can fix it for me right now. God, I'm ready. You got to tell him in your own way that you're yielding, that you heard the word today, you're going to connect with it, and you're going to start working to get prosperity back in your life, blessing back in your life, motivation back in your life, excitement back in your life, joy back in your life, peace back in your life. Come on, it's just there for the taking. It's like low-hanging fruit. It's just waiting on you to take it. So I pray it over every person, every family in this room, Lord. I thank you for complete restoration. I thank you for maturity of the fullness of Christ. Please bring us into the measure of fullness in the measure of Christ in our life, God. Give us the mind of Christ. We thank you. We bless you, Lord. We pray a special prayer over President Trump, Lord, that he was healed expediently, Lord. We pray for those families where they lost loved ones, that they were in the crowd, and they were innocent victims, Lord, but we know that you're going to lift up their families. We know their souls are secure in heaven. And so we thank you, God, for putting this country back together. Lord, please put peace in our nation. Lord, please bless all of the people, even those that we don't even agree with, Lord. It's okay. Please bring us into a state of unity where we can all live in harmony in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we honor you, and we praise you now, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, everybody.